Man, I feel strange to be up here, but thankful for God that he's faithful. I was planning on going to the Horizon Transitions celebration today. Pastor Mike has impacted my life, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go. You know, that's going to be awesome. I just want to honor this, what God has done in that man's life and impacted my life. And then I got the call from Pastor Steve. And I said, oh, guess I'm not going. So praise God. It's better to be here. I think it's better to be here. I shared that scripture on 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and it just does show us that, you know, for all of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that it is temporary. It's temporary. But he says here that it's all passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever with God. And it's exciting that we can take the time this morning to talk about heaven, because it's not something that we usually think about. You know, there's a lot of people that walk on this planet that they don't want to think about it, because they don't want to know about afterlife. They don't want to be worried about what really is going to happen to them. Well, a couple weeks ago, a couple in the church asked me a question regarding heaven, and I really didn't have a definitive answer at the time, so I started searching the scriptures. And, you know, I just want to share with you some of the things that God has shown me. And I know many of you know, and I surely don't have all the answers, but I just want to present to you some of the things that God talks about in his word regarding heaven. It's a place that we're going to. It's a place we're moving to. How many of you, if you were going to buy a new house, would you just have a realtor going select the house for you, and where you're going to live, what it looks like, what it's going to be like, and all that? You would have to have a lot of trust in that realtor, right? And, well, you know what? Our realtor, according to Jesus, is God himself. He's the one preparing his home for us, he says. And so, but we want to know, what about this home, God, you're preparing for us? So that's what we want to do here this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, but not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, that rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Did you hear that? To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. We who know and love Jesus and know the scripture as fact, deep down inside our bones, we know this is true. You know? It's ingrained inside of us. We're going to be with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, forever. Forever. But did you know that God wants heaven to be the final resting place for everyone that's ever been created? It's his desire that none should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of him. He wants us all to be with him. Well, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole of the Bible is Psalm 139. So you can turn to Psalm 139, and I want to go through this because it sets up for us what God is thinking and how God is working all the time on our behalf, because he wants us to be with him. Psalm 139, verse 1. And he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Another scripture says that God knows the number of hairs upon our head. And I know Brother Dominic mentioned that in his prayer. But not only that, isn't it neat how God, I didn't speak to Dominic about the songs he should play here this morning, but how God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him so that we would be prepared to receive from his word. He does it every time. I don't know how God does it, but he does it every time. Every time, you can count on him. It's beyond our understanding to understand these things that God is talking about. God doesn't expect us to completely understand. He knows we are finite creatures because he made us. Amen? But he does want us to believe what he says and to rest on the fact that what he tells us is truth. So what we read here this morning in the scripture is truth. People could tell you all kinds of things about the afterlife, going and coming and going and coming and being, now you're an ant or now you're going to be something else or all this kind of stuff. But the only one really that knows is God and his son who was there and came here and went back to lead us, that we would be with him. He revealed to us all that he knows that we can handle. So he's revealing to us all the time, little by little. He knows, you know, my little pea brain can only handle so much, so he gives me a little bit of time. And us, you guys the same way. So he says this in Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. You hear that? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God's everywhere. He knows everything that's going on. Nothing is hidden from his sight, even in hell. God knows everything. He sees everything. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Because God is light, and God can see through everything. He don't need no night vision goggles. He sees everything. Everything you're doing, right? Listen to this, Psalm 139:13. He says, for you form me my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. When I was yet, there were none of them. Does God know you or what? Does he know the number of days you have, the number of days that I have? We celebrated the going home of our brother Bill yesterday and a great celebration. But God knew the number of days that he has. But see, we have to live as though today is the last day that we have here on this earth. But we know those that know that name the name of Jesus Christ, and he is our Lord and Savior, we know that we're going to continue to live on with him in eternity. Death is separation from God. Life is being in the presence of God always. We have life right now and life eternal, those who believe in the name of the Son of God. God knows the number of days that we have on this earth before he takes us to heaven or before we go to hell. Sorry to say, but many are going to hell. They said the broad is a road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Psalm 139:17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, and they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. I was thinking about this, but you think about that. He thinks about it so much that if you grab one handful of sand and you try to count those grains, you can't do it. He's thinking about you more than that. But when the psalmist is writing this, David, he's going, this is overwhelming. Man, I can't even think about it. Somebody wake me up here. This is beyond me that God thinks about us like that, that God loves us that much. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do they not consistently here on this earth take the Lord's name in vain? All around us and increasingly every day. You can say any other name, like my prayer partner who preached in the name of Jesus Christ, and they said, you know what, you can't do that, chaplain. Don't do that here with the fire department anymore. You're not welcome here no more. But they could take his name like nothing, right? Oh, you can use Muhammad, Buddha, and all the others. And that's true, because those others have no power. It's only the name of Jesus Christ that has the power to raise one from the dead.
Amen.
And to change a life right now.
Amen.
And to give us eternal life and give us the power to live this life that glorifies Him. It's only Jesus Christ and what He has done. Do I not hate them, O Lord, verse 21, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. What you see here in these scriptures is that God made us. Amen? In the mother's womb, while you were yet in your mother's womb, God made us. He made us. And God knows us. Nobody knows you better than God. Your wife thinks she knows you, or your husband thinks you know her, but God knows you. He knows you. He tells us right here that He knows us, and He desires to have an intimate relationship with us, both now and for eternity. The psalmist David understood, and he asked God to lead him in the way everlasting. He asked God, lead me in the way everlasting. Shouldn't we ask that same question? God, lead me in the way everlasting. You see, because we're not living just for the kingdom to come. We're living right now. God's kingdom has come upon this earth. We are living for eternal life right now. We are no longer our own. We are His. We're not supposed to be doing what we want to do. We're to be doing what He desires for us to do. Our lives are to bring glory and honor and praise to Him. To enjoy everlasting life with God, both here and in heaven. Heaven, what about heaven? Time doesn't permit us this morning to get into much detail regarding heaven. However, I'm going to give you the scripture references that you will need to write down, and then you can go home, and I want you to be like Bereans and search out the scriptures to see if these things are so. Okay, so get a piece of paper, get a pen, because I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'm going to hit some of these, highlight some of these, but you need to go and search the scriptures. You need to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures to see that what I'm saying is true. Amen?
17:11.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith. Now, we're going to hit these questions like this. Why should we spend time thinking about heaven? What will heaven be like? Will we know each other in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Are there rewards in heaven? What kind of bodies will we have in heaven? How old will we be in heaven? Will there be animals in heaven? Is there marriage in heaven? Is there sex in heaven? Men want to know. Will we see God in heaven? And the most important question of all regarding heaven, how do you know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die? Amen? Because we're all going to die, amen? That's one thing we can count on. It's either now or later, we're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then to receive judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So why should we spend time thinking about heaven? Why? Because the Bible speaks clearly about heaven being our final place of residence. It's the only natural that we would want to know all we can about the place we're going to spend eternity. Not unlike moving from one area of the city or country to another area. Colossians says this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Some would say that you are so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, right? But that's not true. That's not true. Why? Because Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. This is what He showed us. Jesus showed us. In John 5:15-19, Jesus showed us this. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Did you hear that? The Son can do nothing of Himself. This is God the Son speaking about his relationship with his Father. How about us? He said this, but what he sees the Father do, and for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now what Jesus did constantly, continuously, and totally dependent, he went to his Father in prayer about everything. He knew his word. As a young man, he marveled the priest and those. He knew the word. He went to his Father. He says himself, I didn't do anything except what my Father showed me and told me to do. He already knew what was going to happen when he healed the blind man. He already knew what was going to happen when he walked on water. And Peter jumped out of the boat and walked a few steps and started to sink. See, he received and he knew what God desired to do in his life because he had this intimate relationship with his Father. This is no less important for us, is it? No, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to continue in this intimate relationship we have right here. It doesn't start when we get to heaven. It started when you said, Lord, I surrender my life. Please forgive me of all my sins. I can't do it, Lord. I need you. Come into my life. Take over my life and run it for me. That's what Jesus shows us here. That's how we're to conduct our lives. That's how we are going to live and bear forth much fruit. That's how we do it. That's how he planned it. If his mind was stayed on heaven, shouldn't ours also be? The Bible's last two chapters are devoted to the subject of heaven. Write down these verses here. Revelation 21, verses 1 through Revelation 22, verse 5, the last two chapters in the Bible are devoted to heaven. More is spoken of about heaven in these two chapters than all others. What will heaven be like? The question is, what will heaven be like? These chapters speak about it. I tell you this, there are 11 things that won't be there in heaven. 11 things that won't be there in heaven. There's not going to be a sea. There won't be sin. There won't be death. There's no mourning. There's no crying. There's no pain. There's no night because God is our light. There's no need for the sun. There's no need for the moon. There's no temple and there's no curse. 11 things that are not in heaven. Heaven is called the New Jerusalem. It will be the capital city of the new heaven and the new earth. These are 7 key sites of the New Jerusalem. This is just some nuts and bolts of what Jerusalem is going to look like. The walls around the city, the Bible says, are 216 feet thick. And they're 1,500 miles long. And it's square. High, long, wide, square city. 1,500 miles. The city has 12 gates, and each gate is a single pearl, and they each have a name on it of one of the tribes of Israel. A single pearl, this city. The foundation is made of 12 precious foundation stones. Each one has one of the names of the apostles on them. 12 foundation stones, each one with a name on it. There's a street in heaven, Main Street, and it's made of gold. And the gold is so pure, it's transparent. The gold is so pure, it's transparent. There's a street in heaven. There's a river in heaven that runs right through the center of heaven. There's a throne in heaven. You're going to see your God on that throne. Will we see God? Yes. He's seated on the throne. Who's on his right-hand side? Jesus Christ, seated on the throne. Guess what? The tree of life is going to be in heaven. It says the tree of life is there. The tree that we were cast out in Genesis 3, that we could no longer have access to the tree of life, it's right there in the midst of it because we are going to live eternally with God. We are back in that state that God desired for us from the beginning. The size of the city, it's square, 1,500 miles on each side. In comparison to the moon, they say the moon is 2,160 miles in diameter. And so heaven is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. You get the picture? It's big. Will we know each other in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? Luke 16:9-31. I'm not going to read it, but you can look it up. That's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. One went to Hades, one went to Abraham's bosom, and they recognize each other, and this whole dialogue goes on. We will recognize each other in heaven. The Bible says we will recognize people we'll never meet. Remember on the Mountain of Transfiguration when Jesus Christ was next to two individuals, the apostles saw him and said, hey, there's Moses, there's Elijah. They had never met Moses and Elijah. There weren't no pictures back then, Polaroids, right? No, but they knew him. The Bible says you will be known and you will know. We're going to know people. You don't remember names? You don't have to remember. You'll know them. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus. Man. What will we do in heaven? This is a big question. What are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? Now, there's all kinds of things that are said. I'm going to tell you this. There's some things here that we won't do in heaven. You're not going to sin in heaven. There's no more sin. No more sin. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me from this flesh of sin. Thank you, Father. You're not going to make no mistakes. No mistakes. You don't need to confess anymore. There's no sin. And you don't have to repair anything, man. There's nothing broken in heaven. You don't have to repair nothing. You don't have to rescue others. Good, Ron likes that one. He's a repair man. You don't have to defend yourselves. There ain't nobody beating one another up there. You don't have to apologize. You won't be experiencing guilt because you're not sinning. You won't have to battle with Satan, with his demons, or with your own flesh. You won't have to even defend the gospel. The gospel's right there with you. You don't have to defend it. He's right there. We all are part of that gospel of peace. And you won't need to be healed. How many need to be healed this morning? Or rehabilitated? You won't need any of that. This body is no longer. It's temporary tent. You have a new body God's going to give you. You won't experience loneliness. You're not going to be lonely in heaven. You don't have to worry about having a mate or no mate or nobody likes you. No, Jesus loves you. You are in his presence. You know he loves you. You can't get enough of his love. Right? No depression or fatigue. I'm tired this morning. I was up late last night, but not in heaven. Things you will be doing. Some S's. There's a lot of scriptures, so you may not catch them all. I'm not going to go through them all. Just one here. One thing we're going to be doing, we did it this morning. We were singing. Singing. So I'm going to give you some scriptures. Revelations 4:10 and 11. Revelation 7:7 through 12. Revelations 11:15 through 17, Revelations 14:3, Revelations 15:2 through 4. You may not catch them all. Look at your neighbors later. Revelations 19, I'm going to read to you now. Revelations 19:4 through 6, and it says this, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants and all those who fear him, both small and great. Verse 6, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That's part of us. We're worshiping him there. As we do here, isn't it a blessing when we get to worship the Lord? And man, we are not going to get enough of it. Worshiping him. He's worthy of every praise we give him. We're going to serve him too. Revelations 1:6, Revelations 7:15, Revelations 19:5, Revelations 1:6, 7:15, 19:5. We're going to look at Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Every person will have a job specifically designed for him by the king. You know, everyone, you guys have some talents here. And like Brother Bill, that blew me away. Brother was so talented in so many ways and different things. And God has given talents. Well, guess what? Some of us don't feel as talented. I don't know if you don't, but, you know, I can do some things. But, man, I can't play a guitar. I can't do a sax. I can't, you know, there's things I just cannot do. But in heaven, God's going to have the perfect design for us, perfect plan for us. We're going to be doing exactly what he knows we're designed to do. You know, he knows you. He knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb. He's got a plan for you. What a place, isn't it? What a place. Man. And then in heaven, we're going to be supervising. We supervise. Revelations 22:5. We're not going to turn there. We're going to look at Matthew 25:21. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Isn't that a lot of people? I know I would like to have that on my tombstone one of these days. Yeah. But isn't that something that he's going to give us? "I will make you ruler over many things." As we are faithful to God, he gives us responsibilities. We're supervising, you know. God, it's going to blow us away, guys. You know, sometimes, have you been to Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You've been there, and you look at it, you go, "Man, oh, man, how did you do this, God? Wow," you know, and that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what God has in heaven. I mean, we can't fathom it. Woo, blowing me away. How about sharing? God, you know, right now, God, we see through a glass dimly, he says, you know, about all the things that God has for us, because we can't handle it all. But in heaven, we're right there with him. Revelation 22:4. We're going to look at 1 John 3:2. Revelation 22:4, 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." We're going to see him exactly as he is, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him. So he's going to share everything with us. We're going to have intimate times with him. It's just going to be so awesome. So awesome. But he hasn't said, "Wait till then." He says, "Let's have this intimate time now. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden." Right? Right? Come to him. And so he wants us to come to him. He wants us to have this intimate time with him. He wants it now because it's going to continue in heaven. It don't start then. Studying. 1 Corinthians 13:12. We're going to always be learning about the infinite God. We're never going to stop learning about this infinite God we have. We're finite. He's infinite. We're going to constantly be learning about him. We're never going to fully know him. That's why the Bible says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. High as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above yours." Right? And first, he says this, 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." We're going to just constantly be learning about our God. What a God. Being served. You're going to be served. You're going to be served in heaven. That sound good?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to one of those fancy restaurants, you know, where they're standing right by you like that? And as soon as you throw a crumb down there or something, they go over and dust it off. Man, one time I was at one of those, I was like, "Wow, this is nice." And it was all free. So I was just, "Man, this is nice." But But God says we're going to be served in heaven. And listen, Luke 12, 35, 37, he says this, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." Remember how he washed the feet of his disciples, his apostles? Man, he's going to come serve us. I don't think I'm going to be going, "Okay, Jesus, now you missed the spot over there. Can you?" I'm going to be wanting to serve him, I think. Man, he's going to have a hard time serving me, but I think I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you guys are going to be there too, doing the same. And there are rewards in heaven. There are rewards in heaven. Isn't that neat? You know, have you ever gotten an award for anything? You know, I've received some awards, but you know, those things you forget about them. If they were like a plaque, or if it was my son had a bunch of trophies, you know, and they just piled up and they're inside of the closet and all these boxes. But no, these are heavenly rewards. God says there are rewards in heaven. Hebrews 11:6. He says this. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those of them who diligently seek him." He said, "If you're diligently seeking him, I'm going to reward you for diligently seeking me." You know, it's not a works thing. He did the work. It's a love thing. It's a love thing. And when you're loving him back, he says, "I'm going to reward you." And some of the rewards he does. The Bible calls these rewards crowns. Crowns. There's five crowns. There's an incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27. It's an incorruptible crown. And this one is for those who practice self-discipline and self-control over physical appetites. There's a crown for that as you read that scripture. There's a crown of righteousness, and that's 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. He says this, "Those who lived a righteous life in view of eagerly awaiting Jesus' return." If you're living this righteous life, eagerly awaiting Jesus' return, you're going to receive a crown for that. It's called the crown of righteousness. It's his righteousness that covers you, and we get this crown. The crown of life, James 1:12, and Revelation 2:10. "Those who faithfully endured and persevered under the trials and tests of life." You know, there's a lot of brothers. Brother Saeed is out over there enduring. We endure in our own ways in that because of our faith in Christ. We're going to get this crown of life as well, rewarded, this crown of life. There's many others you guys know that are out there. There's a crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. "Those who led people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who are soul winners, you get this crown of rejoicing." That's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And then the last one is the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:1 through 4. "Those who lovingly shepherded God's people get this crown of glory." The Bible's clear about what we'll do with these crowns in heaven. It's clear about it. We're going to get these crowns. We're not going to go walking around like, "Look at me." Right? There's no pride and all that kind of stuff in heaven. This is what we're going to do. Revelations 4, 10 and 11 says this. Because we got examples there in heaven. Great examples. These brothers did this. Revelations 4, 10 and 11. "The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by you will they exist and will be created.'" We're going to follow this great example. We're going to be part of this right here. We're going to fall down, and we're going to give thanks, our crowns. We're going to give them up to him because he alone is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Amen? Amen. Amen. But he still rewards us. He knows what we're going to do, but he still loves us. He wants to encourage us. He loves us. Right? Well, what kind of bodies are we going to have in heaven? Remember old Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was working out and he was at the top of his game? That was a body that I wanted to have, right? Back then. Never did happen. But what kind of bodies are we going to have in heaven? You know, and then 1 Corinthians 15:35 and 41 through 49. 1 Corinthians 15:35 and 41 through 49. You can look that up later. Our bodies are going to be like, we've already hit some of these scriptures. Our bodies are going to be just like Jesus' resurrected body. Just like Jesus' resurrected body. But we've already kind of touched on it. There's no sickness, right? There's no pain. There's none of that. Right now, yeah, we're dealing with all that in the above. But he says this, 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." When he appeared to the apostles, he ate food. He had scars. He was recognizable. He was not limited by space, the walls, or locked doors. Right? We're not going to be limited. We're going to have bodies like his. That's in John 20:19-26. "God will give his children a gracious, unique, diverse, perfect new body that will never die or disappoint us." Amen?
Amen.
You want that body?
Yes, sir.
I want it. Some believe this will take place. Some believe that this is going to take place immediately when you leave this earth. But others believe because of the rapture, and because of what the rapture says, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, that those bodies will be caught up in the air, that we will be spirits in heaven until the rapture. And then we will catch up in the air with him with our new bodies. So whether that happens in that way or whether I leave right now and I got my new body, guess what? I'm getting me a new body. And I'm going to be with God, whether I'm in spirit or whether I'm body. I'm going to be with God. And I'm not going to be worried about it. You know what I mean? So, how old will you be in heaven? This is too. Scholars now believe that Jesus was born around 5 BC and was crucified around AD 33. He would have been somewhere between 35 and 39 years old, some say. I don't know exactly how they come to this conclusion. And he says, but if our bodies are going to be like Jesus' body, and he was somewhere between 35 and 39 years old, well, it's usually around the prime of your life, you know. So they say that too. And so we're going to have bodies that are going to be functioning well around the prime of our life, and we're going to know and recognize everybody. Whether you knew that person at an old age or whether you knew them at a young age, you're going to know, and you're going to be known, and you're going to know. You know, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to have to end up here. But there's others that you can look at, because what we want to do right now is we want to celebrate the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of his body and his blood that we're going to be like. It's because of him that we have eternal life, right? That's Jesus calling now.
Come on.
You get it, brother? What did he say? You say, hey, keep going. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, because of his body being broken, because of his blood being shed, we have that hope of eternal life. Amen? And so I'm not going to go through all the others we had here, because there's some that are mentioned. How old will you be in heaven? Will there be animals in heaven? That's something you can look up yourself. Is there marriage in heaven? That's another that they say, and marriage is clear there. There is no marriage in heaven. There is no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. Now, I have a great marriage, and I love my wife. But guess what? Just like this earth is awesome, and we see like the Grand Canyon, or we see other amazing things, and we go, wow, this is great. That ain't nothing compared to what's in heaven, right? Same thing with this marriage. Our marriage is going to be with Christ. We are his bride. His church is his bride. And so that marriage is going to be beyond what we could think or imagine. Will we know each other as husband or wives? Will we know who we are? Yes. And we're going to be celebrating. And we're not going to, there's this relationship we're going to have with Christ is going to go way beyond what we have right now. What is the man's life and a woman's life? What does it represent? It represents Christ and the body. so that people would see that love relationship and said, there is a God. There is a God. Well, now we're with him. And it's going to be greater than anything else here. So don't be disappointed. And guess what, man? There ain't no sex in heaven. There ain't no marriage in heaven. There's no procreation, right? But, hey, it's going to be better. I don't understand it, but it's going to be better. He says, I don't have to understand everything. Now, the last and most important question. Do you know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die? Do you know that you will go to heaven when you die? Now, how can you? Some people say that there are many ways to get into heaven. There's many ways. You know, all kinds of ways you can get in. What you believe, you'll want to make, if what you believe, you're going to want to make sure it's right. You're going to want to make sure it's right. Because once you step from here into there, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Well, you know what? I believe what Jesus said. I believe what he said. And he said this in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you go, where you are going, or how, and how can we know that way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, if there was any other way, I'd tell you. There's no other way. There's no other way. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way to salvation. There's one way through Jesus Christ. And I just think about this. I was a firefighter over here in this area, and it was morning time, and normal routine was exercising, and we'd exercise real hard. And we were playing racquetball and going hard at it, and hot day, and man, we get a call, fire, and it's down the road over here. And when we pull up, an older kind of Victorian home is fully going. I hadn't seen too many homes going that much during the daytime. Fire coming out every opening. And next to it was a two-story apartment complex. And fire was impinging upon that. As we rolled up, got off, I was first one to go to the door. See, I'm trying to get in this door. I get to that door, come up to the door, and I go to kick it in. And I try the front kick. Doesn't do nothing, doesn't budge. Older Victorian home, real strong, sturdy door. And, you know, I'm around 200 pounds. I hit that thing. No, don't go nowhere. I hit it again. No, don't go nowhere. I turn around. Now I'm doing the mule kick, you know. Bam! Doesn't go nowhere. After the second mule kick, I'm bent over like this. I'm just looking at my feet, dead tired. We had worked out really hard, and I'm tired right there. And then I see some bigger feet right by me. And I heard this voice. You want me to kick it in, brother? And I was like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And he did that thing, bam, right in. Well, guess what? Heaven, Jesus kicked that door in for us. He kicked that door in for us. We ain't big enough and bad enough. Our feet aren't big enough. We are not bad enough. We aren't good enough. Our righteousness can't get us there. Our good works can't get us there. Only Jesus could kick that door in. You know? And so that's what we want to celebrate here this morning. What Jesus has done for us. The scripture says this, Romans 3:23. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I misquoted that. That's Romans 6:23. The Bible is clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not by works, so that no man can boast. We can't kick it in. We can't do it. He did it for us. He covered our sins. Go and tell others about the good news of what he's done. He's kicked the door in. Remember that. Not by works, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no man can boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all it takes. A confession, acknowledging that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, someone to save you from sin. Acknowledging that, you know what, God, I can't run this life. I want you to run it. I want you to guide me, direct me. That's all it takes. If you want to make certain that you're going to heaven here this morning, then follow along with me in prayer. All you guys, you can close your eyes and bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to talk about you here this morning, to talk about your goodness and your greatness and your love, Lord. Lord, you have done so much for us. We can't even begin to understand it. Lord, we're trying, Lord. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, and to be in your family. Thank you for being patient with us, Lord. Those that are here that may not know you and have that assurance of salvation, that assurance that they, when they leave this earth, will go to be with you in heaven. Lord, I pray for them right now. Lord, if there's any here that would need you as their Lord and Savior this morning, that they would ask you for the forgiveness of their sins. They would ask you to come into their life, to run their life, to be their Lord and Savior. That they would give all that they are, all that they know, over to you. That they would surrender their lives to you here this morning, Lord. We ask this, Lord Father. Lord, we pray right now, Lord. We pray for this time we have together in celebrating what you have done for us. You kicked that door down, Lord. You did it through your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. There was no other way. No other way. Jesus wept regarding that. If there's any other way, nevertheless, thy will be done. Lord, there's no other way. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for leading the way. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us life eternal. Lord, bless now, Lord Father, all those that receive and all those that have acknowledged you as their Lord and Savior here this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless them, Lord Father, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read this to you. It says, for I have received, I have received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This is 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what we're doing. In the same manner, he also took a cup after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So if you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would say don't come up here. You're actually bringing damnation upon yourself because you've heard the truth, the word. But if you know and love the Lord and you've asked him this morning to forgive your sins, you come freely up here to receive and acknowledge and remember what he has done for us. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. God has done it. Brothers and sisters, go ahead and rise up. Those that are coming to receive communion, and come forward here.